top financial expert who's helped hundreds of people plan for retirement, has a valuable perspective, and knows where the pitfalls lie, and can share valuable lessons you can benefit from. I'm Joe Casey, and this is the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, and our guest today is Scott Hansen. He's a founding principal and vice chair at Allworth Financial. A nationally recognized financial expert, he's been named to Barron's list of the top 100 independent wealth advisors in America numerous times, and has been listed as one of the 25 most influential people in the financial services industry. For over 28 years, Scott has co-hosted Allworth Financial's Money Matters, a call-in financial topic radio program and podcast, making it one of the longest-running shows of its kind in the U.S. He's been recognized by Investment News as one of the 10 icons and innovators of the financial services industry. And in 2019, Scott was the inspiration behind the founding of Allworth Kids, which has provided laptops, overnight kits, and financial assistance to over 200,000 foster kids to date. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So what's changed about retirement over the course of your career?
I'm a certified financial planner. I started back in the industry back in 1990. And throughout the 90s, like that was when tech stocks were taking off and people were retiring younger and younger. And matter of fact, there are people like at 65 or older still working and retiring as soon as you could. And then if we look over the last couple of decades with the financial crisis and the dot-com and everything, but the financial aspect obviously changed quite a bit. But I think today, Joe, there's a lot of people that are looking at retirement differently than maybe their parents' generation did. And particularly those that the more educated one is, and also the more assets they have, oftentimes the longer they continue to work in the workplace. And I see a lot of people now, they're coming to us as for financial advice saying, I want to make sure I'm retirement eligible financially, but I'm trying to figure out how to navigate this next chapter of my life where it's maybe some work and some play as well. I want to maybe a little more balance in life, but I don't want to fully throw in the boots yet.
And that's what I see as well. Most of my clients build a new portfolio of activities, often including work, broadly defined, sometimes part-time, sometimes consulting.
Well, I'm 57 myself. I've been coaching people on retirement my entire career, and I never want to retire. So I think it's really important that people get to a point where retirement's an option, where work is an option, not an obligation. When people get to that point where they have the financial independence, I think it changes their mindset. And they can look at work a lot differently, and they got other options available to them. So, for us, for financial advisors anyway, it's really about getting to that point where you've got that independence where you can choose your own future.
Opens up a lot of possibilities. So, Scott, what have you noticed is the difference between clients you've worked with who ace their retirement compared to those who struggle in retirement?
I think it really comes down to those that have done a good job planning for their retirement. And it's interesting because we plan so many things in life. I mean, you think about it as a child, you're planning your college and you're planning your career. And throughout your career, you're planning what's this next season of my career going to be like? And how do I get this promotion? And how do I get this new designation, et cetera? And then most people don't think about planning very well. Matter of fact, a lot of people think, well, as soon as I retire, I'm going to get rid of all my responsibilities. I'm just going to have all kinds of, blank space and a blank canvas to build from. And I think that's not always a very healthy way to approach retirement. I'll never forget years ago, Joe, I had a client. She was an executive, a CEO of a kind of a mid-sized company, a couple hundred employees. And she had done a nice job saving. And she'd come in and would talk about her retirement preparedness or whatnot. So we're having the same conversation again, our annual review. And I said to her, I said, Stacy, let's assume you're retired today. Right? You're retired today. Tell me what your next few weeks look like. How are you spending your time? She says, what do you mean? I said, well, your entire career, you've been coaching people, mentoring people. You've been involved in strategic plans. You've been working as teams. Like, what are you going to do in retirement to still have some of those activities? And she sent me an email 2 weeks after our conversation. She said, your questions haunted me. And I realized I have a lot of work to do between now and retirement. And she did put a lot of time in, and she's actually still not retired. This conversation is probably 7 years ago. But it's those that have taken the time to really think about their future and look at, like, what are my skills? What are my gifts? What are my talents? What do I want to bring to the world still in retirement? Maybe it's through some sort of vocation. Maybe it's not at all, but it's still having some of those same activities. And it's also interesting, Joe, like, some studies have shown that those people that tend to be really busy, that have a lot of commitments during the week, should probably have a lot of commitments during retirement as well, right? if you're someone who likes to be super active and you've got high capacity, just going and sitting on the beach drinking a cocktail every day is not going to do it for you.
Indeed. Well, your firm has done some research. And I'm curious about what does that research tell you are the pillars of a successful retirement?
Yeah, maybe kind of step back a little further on that too, Joe, because I know you started your first part of your, most of your earlier career was in financial services as well, and wealth management and financial planning. And we've taken some time as a leadership team to really focus, like, what are the values that we really bring to our clients? Like, where are we really helping people the most? And as we got kind of deep on that, it was really designing one's finances to help people accomplish those things that are important to them in their lives, right? Money's just a tool. And so we're good at figuring out the tools, but so much of our conversation is really trying to figure out getting clarity on what's important to a client and their goals and their hopes and their dreams, and maybe even helping them get clear on what their future is. And so as we went through this, we said so much of this is deeper than the money. And most of the clients we work with, it's really about saving for their future, for retirement. And so went into a whole process where we had some staff full-time helping us with this project. Harvard, of course, has done that big longitude study. University of Michigan's got some information out there. Then we partnered with UC Davis, California, to do some additional research. And we came up with our four pillars of retirement. This is for those that want to have a successful retirement. These are the four pillars. And just kind of briefly, those four pillars are health and wellness. And that's people feeling fairly confident about their health. Second is prosperity. Not necessarily about being rich, but whatever that means. But it means being confident that you can maintain your current lifestyle going forward. The third is people, that's having meaningful relationships in our life. Maybe not tons of people. If you're an introvert, maybe just one or two close friends is really important to you, but those people interactions are important. And then the fourth thing is purpose, like having something in your life that is of value to you and of value to others. Like, what are you here for, right? And the people that have been able to focus on those four and to spend some time in planning all each of those areas, they're the ones that we find have the most successful retirement.
It's a great list. And I'm curious, what do you think people are the least prepared for of those four?
I think it depends. Well, most Americans, it's obviously the prosperity is a, when you look at what's interesting, I imagine most people listen to your podcast, Joe, have taken responsibility for their lives, they're good savers, right? But if you actually consider that the majority of Social Security recipients rely upon Social Security for the majority of their income, it shows you most people are woefully underprepared for retirement. So I think if you kind of look at the majority of Americans, it's really on the financial end. But health is also another big issue that, for whatever reason, that us, the majority of Americans, we have a tough time when it comes to our health. If we look at weight and obesity and some of those issues and some of the our health diets we have, many of us come into retirement with some health issues that maybe could have been prevented. Sometimes we just are dealt a bad hand and we have some issues that are unavoidable, but I think a lot of health issues that are lifestyle related. And so those are a couple of the bigger issues, but the most basic in retirement, a lot of people don't really think about the purpose and the people. And we have, you know, the thing that people enjoy the most about work, if you ask them, particularly as they get close to retirement, it's the people they work with. These long-term, we all have the idiots that we can't stand working with, a couple of them, not at my organization, none at all work, but it's those relationships we have at work and those that have done a good job preparing, like, where am I going to have those relationships at retirement? Maybe it's on the golf course, but probably not 5 days a week on the golf course, but for whatever the hobby one has, or pickleball, maybe pickleball is the latest thing. But it's having some meaningful relationships.
And I mentioned in the introduction to our conversation today about your radio show and podcast, Money Matters, 28 years, very impressive. That's a long-running streak you have going there.
It's a long, I know, almost 30 years of doing it was a radio program originally, and now it's mostly podcast, but yeah.
That's terrific. When it was a radio program, what were some of the hot topics, and what types of topics are the ones you're covering now in the podcast?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we take calls, even on the podcast now, we have essentially consumers call in and ask questions. And you can kind of get a sense of what people are concerned about based upon the questions that they are bringing to us, right? So as of late, of course, it had been inflation, and what do we deal with inflation and how's that going to impact? Now it's when the stock market's down, it's always questions like, do I have too much in stocks and should I get out of the market? And then when the stocks are, you know how it is, it's funny, the financial market's the only market in the world that I know of that people like to buy when things are expensive and like to sell when they're low. But That's invariably what happens. And so we tend to get those sort of questions. And when the housing market was on fire, a lot of questions on housing. And when there's tax changes, a lot of questions on taxes. And now it's what's going to happen to interest rates, and are mortgage rates going to come back down? And should I buy that house now? Or, you know, that's what makes it pretty interesting and fun.
Scott, tell us about Allworth Kids. What inspired you to start that? And tell us a little bit about how it works.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. So Allworth Kids is about helping foster youth. And my objective when we launched Allworth Kids a few years back was to raise the awareness with the fight with foster youth. The United States has roughly 400,000 children in the foster system. Roughly 100,000 of those kids are waiting to be adopted. My wife and I had two biological children. We never discussed fostering, never discussed adoption. And when our youngest went off to college, we found ourselves with two young women in our lives, young girls, and we adopted them. And so from the foster system. So this is very near and dear to our heart. I've seen not only the impact we have had on the girls' lives, but the impact they've had on our own lives as well. And when I think about the four pillars that we talk about with people and purpose and some, maybe it's not helpful for the prosperity side of things, but for the health, I think it kind of keeps us young. I've got two teenage girls in the house, and I realize that most families can't do what we did.
My first boss right after college had a great saying when asked about strategy. He said, "We don't know where we're going, but we're on our way." Don't let that be your approach to planning for your life after you graduate from the world of full-time work. You can be more intentional and design it, and you can design it with the help of others. Join our next group program. It starts on April 26th, and you'll work with between 5 and 10 other people who are also designing their new life in retirement. It runs for 12 weeks, and we meet every other week for 90 minutes over Zoom and compare notes and work through exercises together. You'll find the link in the show notes for more information on the registration, the costs, and the deadline. So take your first step today toward designing the life that you've earned.
A lot of people can do something towards helping with foster youth, whether it's in being a mentor in the after school or helping out with homework, or there's a variety of different things. And so my hope and my goal is, particularly, we have so many clients. I think we have 25,000 clients or so at Allworth, that a lot of them are retirement age or marching towards retirement. I think for some people, like, there might be something that can help fill and let both the purpose and the people side of things.
Well, great to hear what you're doing there. Scott, what advice would you have for people on transitioning from decades of saving and investing for retirement to then spending, which can be a hard switch for some and easy one for others?
It's hard for most. I mean, you think about this, you spend your entire career kind of stacking wood on the wood pile, right? You're stacking, and suddenly one day you're no longer stacking. Now you're pulling from that wood pile. And furthermore, I mean, when you're working, that you're putting money in your 401k, I think that's our primary saving tool, but maybe we have some others, but we're saving money for the future. And it's always, we don't really, even when we might be concerned about the value today, we're not quite as concerned because that's for our future. And so we'll wait, that's going to be for our future. We're busy, so we don't have time to check our accounts every day. And we're making deposits. So even in a flat market, we're going to have growth because we're continuing to deposit. Now, suddenly you're retired. The future's now. Now, the reality is a lot of those assets are for many years down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I mean, a couple that retires at age 65, there's a greater than 50% chance that one of them is going to be alive into their 90s, right? So even when we retire, we still might have a 20 or 30 year time horizon. But for a lot of people, the mindset is like, the future's now. And so it's a little more challenging on dealing with watching the volatility. Second, we have time now. Maybe we're sitting watching CNBC or Fox Business News, and we hear all these different talking heads with all their different opinions. Most of them are designed to scare you. And so we've got to suddenly navigate that. And then third, we're no longer depositing. We're now taking withdrawals. And particularly those that are great savers. And Joe, a lot of the great savers are great savers, maybe because they're concerned about the future. It might be a little fearful of the future, and there's never quite enough. They're great savers. I think those people have even the largest challenge because they don't feel free to spend some of their money. And I think part of a good financial advisor is helping clients navigate through those things. And how do you have the proper mindset when your emotions might be telling you something completely different?
And when you think about your work with clients, Scott, what would you say are the big pitfalls, the big mistakes that you help them avoid?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because funny, I was just having a conversation. A new employee joined us, and I had right before we did this recording here, about I said that greatest value that a financial advisor brings is keeping people from making mistakes from which they cannot recover. And those things might be, maybe it's overloading in the stock. That's a hot stock. Like, hey, I want to put everything in whatever the latest thing is right now. And you see people overload in that. I remember years ago, Joe, I had a client reach out to me. This is right, I think in year 2000, right at the top of the tech bubble. And he wanted to take a third of his portfolio and put it in one particular stock. And he gave me all the rationale behind this. This is why this is great. And this guy owned a home in Northern California and owned another home up in Alaska on the water in Alaska. And his thing he loved to do the most was spend time in Alaska. And he had some sort of fishing boat. I have no idea this fishing boat, but so he brings this to him. And I said, well, Bill, I said, look, I said, if you're right and this pays off for you, maybe you can trade in your fishing boat for a bigger fishing boat. If you're wrong, the fishing boat's gone and probably the house in Alaska as well. Right. And so it's those sort of things, whether it's overloading in one particular area or like even if you look back to the COVID lockdown, the markets fell 35%. Our number one objective as an organization was keep clients invested. Don't let anyone throw in the towel. Don't let anyone sell out. But invariably, there's still a handful that did, and their lives are never going to be the same financially. Further, I think we all have our plans and then life happens, right? So there's an illness or a death in the family, things that just, this wasn't our plan. And a good advisor can help navigate clients through those seasons. And sometimes our risk tolerance changes. Sometimes our investment portfolio needs to be different as we're in the midst of those seasons, just because of all the other stresses that bring upon there. But people can make tremendous mistakes there as well.
And Scott, based on all your experience, what advice would you offer people listening on how to prepare well for retirement?
I think it's not just about retirement, it's about today, right? So I remember I used to ride a bike with this guy. He worked for a Fortune 500 company. And the way the pension was designed, he kind of was stuck there till he turned 58. It was something like that. And he would say things like, just 11 more years. I got just 11 more years to go. And I thought, what a way to live your life, right? And so like for me, I've always said it's important. Life's about the journey. And we've seen people, we had a client, kid you not, he passed away at his retirement party. At his retirement party, had a heart attack and died, right? We've all heard those stories. This is a client of ours. So I've personally experienced this. And I think it's really about having that journey along the way. But as we're getting to retirement age, it's planning like, all right, if I'm going to be stepping away from this career or out of this company, those things that I love about work, how do I replicate that during retirement? And it's really putting some time and then having some experimentation and maybe hiring some coaching like you do to help navigate those things.
I had a story like that with a former coworker, colleague who had a second career, went back to school, got a master's in a health-related field. And his company hired me to work as executive coach. So we were in touch for probably about 3 or 4 years. And he kept saying, well, you know, I'm going to retire next year. Did that for about 3-4 years in a row. He said, I always wanted to, he had a beach house at the Jersey Shore here. So I always wanted to see what it would be like to actually be there an entire summer because I'm just down there on weekends. And he had a particular car, a Porsche convertible in mind that he had finally got. And he put off retirement one more year. Long story short, passed away. I went to his funeral outside. I walk out, there's the Porsche. So just again, a reminder of not to put off some of these things and the things can happen.
Yeah, life's about the journey. I was this morning with a gentleman, he's 39 years old and taking a sabbatical from his career for 8 weeks. And he's feeling uncomfortable about that, right? And I said, I think that's brilliant. Like take some time to recharge and I think the world's going to continue to spin whether he shows up from his desk or not for 8 weeks. None of us are really, frankly, that important. And I think this is one thing, Joe, that the younger generation seem to have a little better grasp on. Sometimes it's kind of shocking. I mean, I was having dinner a year or so ago with this young couple, and they were just they had spent the last year traveling the globe. You know, they had their career for about 6 years and both quit to travel the world. And you know, that's something my generation would like. My parents would have probably disowned me if I said I was going to do something like that. And, but, and you know, there's sometimes they get a bad rap. that generation as well for maybe not having the right work ethic. But there is a balance there. And I think sometimes they're onto something in how they're viewing life and the journey.
That's a great point. I've noticed the same thing. They don't really want to put off living. They're balanced. They're focused on the future, but they're also very focused on getting the most out of today.
Yeah. But it's a balance, because if you do too much of that, then you're not going to get very good at your career.
Absolutely. Scott, thanks for a great conversation. And thanks for making us smarter about all these issues. Really appreciate meeting you and appreciate your time.
Yeah, likewise, Joe. And I appreciate your podcast and what you do for folks. So I think it's pretty cool how you've navigated this chapter of your career.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. Time for the takeaway segment. A few actionable ideas and questions to ponder following our conversation with Scott Hansen today. Number one, how are you doing on your four pillars? This is a great list that he shared with us today. Health and wellness, prosperity, people, and purpose. And if you were to score yourself, how are you doing? And if you were to then fast forward to when you're in your retirement life and where you want to be, how would you size that gap? Which one or two areas need your attention right now? And what do you want to do to really make that part of your retirement planning? Number two, if you retired tomorrow, what would you be doing next week? As a coach, I spend my days asking questions, and so I picked up some good ones in the conversation with Scott today. And that's a great one. So think about, if you were to retire, what would your week look like? What would your days look like? What could it look like? And hopefully these questions won't haunt you, but they'll engage you and help you envision what's possible in your next chapter. Number three, don't live your life in the countdown. I thought that was a great story that Scott shared about the executive who was saying only 11 years to go. I just pictured this calendar with a lot of X's each day being crossed off. And as Scott mentioned, that's not a great way to spend your working days and living your life. So instead of counting down the days, how are you using your time to live your life today without deferring it, but also investing and planning for your future? Thanks for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. The mission here is to help you retire smarter by helping you balance your planning by focusing on the non-financial side of retirement. The financial planning side is a left brain activity, and planning for your life, though, is a right brain activity, and it helps to bring some imagination to your retirement planning. You can see all of our episodes at our website, retirementwisdom.com. There's quite a few of them over across 7 seasons now, and you can browse the guests and the topics. There's also a collection of book summaries, or really my best books on retirement. Many of them are not specifically about retirement, but they have great ideas and great frameworks you can use to enhance your life in retirement. Thanks for listening.